fame is her pro-homeless stance, and that Billy was suggesting a very reasonable suggestion that staff members at HCRC wear some sort of identification, a name tag or a badge or maybe a t-shirt or something that clearly identifies them as staff members.
Well, either that or issue band-aids for those that are getting, you know, whapped across the face or, you know, hit in the eye. Maybe some ice packs would be good.
Uh-huh. And Billy was clear that he did not advocate an increased police presence on the property at HCRC, that would be counterproductive for the work of the HCRC. But
what did Linda say about this proposal?
Well, I had the copy of the letter that was composed earlier on, that was a Huff position supporting Billy.
Rather than go on with that, what did she say?
What did Linda say?
Yes.
She said, I think I see someone in the back room that I need to talk to.
I see. So Linda, for some reason, she was too busy to deal with it at this time.
She opted not to speak to us directly about anything other than she did tell me she didn't want me videotaping. That was her only direct comment.
Who told you to leave five times?
That was Daryl Darling. That little clear with, I did kind of get that impression from Linda she wanted us to leave as well, but I can't recall her exact statement on that.
Well, you know, I feel that really it's important to call out these candidates in no uncertain terms, and I intend whenever I see Steinau or any of these other right-wing candidates, whether it's Canfield's banker, Quattararo, or Whoops-a-Daisy Walton, who somehow believes that homeless people don't have the right to sleep at night.
She was there.
You know,
at
I think
the mixer, and Michael Hernandez showed up.
And I guess Billy said there was some kind of interchange with Hernandez. So that was
Billy, of course, was along with many of us, were really sort of dumbfounded by some of the statements made by Michael Hernandez at the city council meeting. Where he had basically accused, I guess, all white people in Santa Cruz of by saying, "Well, when are you gringos going to let us have some housing?" Which many people took to be a racist comment on the part of Michael Hernandez, and I found it totally inappropriate.
Well, I tend to agree. I'm wondering when the gringos will, but the gringos, I think, that have controlled the council are Matthews, Kennedy, and Rutkin, and Hernandez. I don't regard him as anything other than I don't know what you call it, a tico taco, a guy who's standing on the outside and white on the inside.
About that, Robert, that Michael Hernandez is going to say and do what he does, but the people who have associated themselves with him, that they should disassociate themselves from that remark and do that in a public way. And we were sort of confronting Daryl, and who tells me he has no official position in her campaign.
Mm-hmm. He's just sort of the unofficial bouncer.
Yes, he's just a volunteer bouncer.
Well, look, I want to thank you for this update. Is there more you want to say before I move into our next exciting interview here?
Just that it was kind of interesting that she was urging us to make a specific appointment to meet with Linda when she was a no-show on October 7th when she had told me she was going to come down to community television and appear at a candidate's taping. And she did not call to tell me that she was not coming. She just didn't show up. And now she's urging me to make an appointment with her.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can. She's suggesting you might do so maybe 2002 at some point to really give her some lead time.
I think this is a clue for the community at large that Linda will not keep her appointments.
Thank you, Becky.
Sure.
And that was political writer, analyst, and activist Becky Johnson, who apparently is reporting on her and Billy Godwin, the visit of the two of them to the Linda Steinau campaign, where apparently they were made to feel as unwelcome as many homeless people are made to feel whenever they attempt to enter the inner sanctum of power. We saw this repeatedly. Under Steinau and Karen Gillette's leadership, the Homeless Community Resource Board of Directors meetings were closed for 4 years. Hence, I wrote a long flyer about that, which predicted a similar kind of exclusivity happening at City Council if Steinau is elected. And I'm afraid that's what we see. That's the experience that more and more of us are having. And hopefully the community will see this and cast its votes accordingly. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert. No bathrobe at the moment, still wearing my shorts even as the summer days disappear and the autumn hits, the nip of autumn. Let's have a little music and then let's try and reach a couple more folks on the phone and see what they can tell us about this really important time of change. This could be a crucial city council election race, and I hope to see a lot of you out there on Saturday at noon at the Beach Boardwalk, because there's a lot of confusion as to what's happened, but I think we want to make sure that there is real change in the Beach Flats area, real respect for the people there, real housing opportunities, real job opportunities, and a real change in city council in November, not to mention basic rights for homeless people in October. Thank you very much. Stay with us.
Dear kindly Sergeant Krupke, you gotta understand, it's just our bringing up tea that gets us out of hand. Our mothers all are junkies, our fathers all are drunks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punks.
Gee, Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had a love at every time out again.
We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood.
Deep down inside us, there is good.
There is good,
there is good, there is good, there is untapped good.
Right inside, the voice of us is good.
Thanks, attention, good story.
Let me tell it to the world.
Just tell it to the judge. Come on,
Judge, Your Honor, my parents treat me rough. With all the marijuana, they won't give me a puff. They didn't want to have me, but somehow I was had.
Listen, listen, that's why I'm so bad.
Right, Officer Krupke, you're really a square.
This boy don't need a judge, he needs an analyst's care.
If death is neurosis, that ought to be kind.
He's psychologically destroyed.
I'm destroyed.
We're destroyed, we're destroyed.
Hear ye, hear ye! In the opinion of this court, this child is depraved on account of he ain't had a normal home.
Hey, I'm depraved on account of the pride.
So take him to a head shrinker.
Come on, Mr.
My father is a bastard, my ma's an SOB. My grandpa's always plastered, my grandma pushes tea. My sister wears a mustache, my brother wears a dress.
Goodness gracious, that's why I'm a mess.
Yes, Officer Krupke, you're really a slob.
This boy don't need a doctor, just a good honest job.
Society's played him a terrible trick,
and sociologically he's sick.
I am sick,
we are sick.
We are sick, we are sick, sick, sick. Like we're sociologically sick.
In my opinion, this child does not need to have his head shrunk at all. Juvenile delinquency is purely a social disease.
Hey, I got a social disease.
So take him to a social worker.
I think a social worker.
Dear kindly social worker, they say go earn some dough. Like be a soda jerker, which means like be a schmo.
It's not, I'm anti-social, I'm only anti-one.
Sorry, Oski, that's why I'm a jerk.
Officer Krupke, you've done it again. This boy don't need a job, he needs a year in the pen. It's just a question of misunderstood. Deep down inside him, he's no good.
I'm no good.
We're no good, we're no good, we're no earthly good. But the best of us is no devil.
The trouble is he's lazy. The trouble is he drinks. The trouble is he's crazy. The trouble is he stinks.
The trouble is he's growing. The trouble is he's grown.
Troubles of our own. See, how is the love? We're down on our knees. Just go and run for fellow with a social.
and that's actually fuck you for those of you who can deal with it. From West Side Story from the early 60s. In those days, however, crep you was considered to be more apropos, even though everybody knows what fuck means, and that's actually a fine word, good word. If you want to use a critical word, you should say rape. So instead of saying you...
Right, no, I'm not going to use any obscenity.
Yes, actually, you can... I don't... we have an line with us, by the way. While you were listening to that music, listeners, we have dialed up and have with us Paul of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Robert.
And you've also been instrumental in setting up the first protest at the Beach Boardwalk last Saturday.
Well, we felt there were tenant issues there that we had to address on some level, being a tenant union.
Mm-hmm. And you actually, I guess you're planning a bigger protest this Saturday?
Well, we are trying to kick something off. It's still in the development stage. However, I'm sort of getting sidetracked because I had an unusual jury demand put on me in the last 24 hours.
So I guess the plan is for the... for the Beach Boardwalk demo to happen noon on Saturday at the Beach and Cliff Streets. That's what the flyer reads, but you're saying that you have an immediate, you had some immediate crisis coming up because you are constantly out there helping tenants in court. What's cooking with that?
Well, we're starting to realize that there's not much hope for a tenant in a judge trial because it seems Santa Cruz has an entrenched pro-landlord bias in the courts and in its officials. So we no longer feel that it's safe to leave the decision of tenant issues in the hands of a judge when there's such excellent jury instructions if the tenant is on the right side of the law and he has the facts of the case on his side.
Mm-hmm. So you are preparing a whole case for a tenant who's fighting an eviction?
Well, I'm not preparing it as much as helping him to represent himself.
And what does that involve?
Well, we have to sort of give the individual a grasp of various law and motion pleadings, which is sort of pre-trial issues, where you thrash out festering issues that have to be resolved before a matter can go to trial, such as discovery, gathering evidence, moving for summary judgment, or demur. These are all challenges to the landlord's complaint. You're saying, we don't need to answer this or even go to trial because it's legally insufficient. It doesn't pass the muster.
Sort of a demur kind of thing?
Yes, it is sort of a demur. Actually, most law and motion pleadings are all on one level or another demurs. Even summary judgment or judgment on the pleadings, they all sort of act in a way as a demur.
So what's the issue here in terms of this is a tenant who feels he's being unfairly evicted?
Well, yes, and he is being unfairly evicted. And well, first of all, the landlord doesn't have a permit for occupancy, which means he never should have rented it. It's not permitted to be occupied.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very strong issue. And under the rules of law, he could move to summary judgment just on that issue alone.
But which judge is refusing to do that?
Well, so far, Judge Stevens and Judge Yontz has turned down every law and motion pleading, and we filed three of those and some discovery pleadings.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you guys aren't lawyers, we got to say. You guys are just...
No, we're not lawyers, and we do not give legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
But once someone is a member of our tenant union, then we're freely allowed to have academic legal discussions.
And I guess you would encourage people to join the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz?
We certainly would, and if anybody out there feels that they've been violated in regards to their tenants' rights, and if they feel that this is a unusual phenomenon in Santa Cruz that goes on all the time, then they should contact us. We need volunteers. It's very hard for us to handle. We've been so successful in helping tenants lately that we're just being crushed by the constant demands for tenants to have help.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we just can't handle the work. I'm actually on the sidelines just praying I can find a few competent people. We really need an office manager. We really need another paralegal.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your phone number for those who would like to call in to offer help or maybe to become a member of the Tenants Union? What are the dues?
Well, the dues vary according on what people can pay. We would like $2 or $3 a month.
And your phone number?
Some people give more, some people give less. is 426-0644.
Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, we're talking to Paul, 426-0644. He could use some help, folks. This is an organization that is not just raising occasional pickets and doing a table here and there, or having a meeting out of which they're throwing some other people out while maintaining a little elitist core, as some groups do. No, this is a guy and a group that is helping anybody with an eviction problem. I mean, is that fair, or are there some people
that,
you don't...
That is a fair analysis. Now, we feel that the tenants have gotten the short side of the stick long enough.
Now, would you help Scott Kennedy if he came to you with an eviction problem?
There is a
I was sure I would have a real existentialist dilemma at that juncture.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, we're thinking of evicting Scott Kennedy from the Resource Center for Nonviolence, since it's been renamed the Resource Center for Scott Kennedy. It should return to its original purpose, just as Kennedy is being evicted from the city council, mainly because his two terms is more than enough for old Kennedy.
Yes, well, now, there's a certain amount of two-faced hypocrisy there with Mr. Kennedy. That I'm sure is destined to turn off the voters.
Well, do you have any tenants there who want to make any statements or talk to the public about what's going on?
Well, let me run this by some tenants here. We happen to have at the moment three tenants. You can sort of hear the clamor in the background, probably.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, how about tenants who are heatedly discussing their options, and often we also act as an emotional support. People are... There's a five-day hammer on someone when they're facing an eviction.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, these things move at breakneck speed. And often tenants default or drop the ball because the thing moves so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so often tenants come to us and they're already in default. So we have to file motions to, like, set aside the default. And those are, like, 30 or 40-page motions. I mean, they're a real drag.
Do you have any support from, let's say, organizations up in San Francisco, like the Homes Not Jails group, or the...
We had just got a grant from the Vanguard Foundation not too long ago, and that was for a few $1,000, and that was actually our first grant. We've only been in existence a little over a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kennedy and the city council made some noises about giving you... access to an office, and that was sort of cut short by the sheriff, something like that?
Yeah, well, since it's on the property of the sheriff, you know, the sheriffs, Robert, really have a bias against tenants. And my own theory on that is that this stems from the fact that the sheriff is often called to actually physically remove tenants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to store their possessions, and if need be, to physically remove them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this conditions the sheriff. It's sort of a programming where the sheriff thinks the tenant is automatically wrong, or we wouldn't be physically removing them.
You know, it's interesting. I guess if people want to be really witness what's going on, you're talking about a public proceeding that's continuing tomorrow.
Tomorrow will be the first trial calendar call for the jury trial,
mm-hmm.
And then the jury itself would be set for Tuesday. But by tomorrow, there's a number of procedural formats that we should turn to the court, such as jury instructions.
Well, these are things you have to do, but are the things that the public can witness in court, or do they have to wait until Tuesday?
Well, for the jury trial itself, they would have to wait until Tuesday.
So they should give you a call at 426-0644 to keep advised as to what's happening?
Absolutely, and, you know, the Tenants' Rights Union position, Robert, is that the landlords have seized the law in their hands, the lawyers have seized the law in their hands, and the judges have seized the law in their hands. And now it's time for the tenant to seize the law in his hands. And there are excellent self-help books and even some technical manuals that, with just a little bit of diligence and training, the tenant can assert his landlord-tenant rights, his tenant rights, and give a good show of himself. If you don't, it just sort of increases the oppression. It's like we create the system when we don't fight back. What happens is that evil system expands and it claims more victims. So, and the evictions increase and the rents go up and everybody cries and weeps and wails and gnashes their teeth. But until we actually seize the law in our own hands and learn these complicated motions and the Byzantine-like labyrinth of the law and get through that, it's sort of, what I equate it to, Robert, it's sort of like tripping through a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get on the other side and not touch off any mines.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time you're doing that, you sort of have to lay mines for the other side.
Wow. Well, maybe we can see some interesting explosions. Or maybe we can see some justice. I know that you yourselves are fighting an eviction order, are you not? Donna Dice?
Well, we're not at the eviction stage yet, but we do have a 30-day notice.
And that's actually, but
that's the preamble to an eviction.
To an eviction. I know that they've tried to evict her twice before.
Yes, they have, and at both times they've been beaten back.
And you expect that's going to happen again?
You never know. You know, it's a roll of the dice. We hope so, but... You know, every case, you never know what a jury would do.
Anything more that you or any of the tenants there want to pass on to us?
Well, you know, I happen to have a tenant here who's actually going through the jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been frustrated trying to understand a lot of the complexities. And he's really getting, the landlord actually struck this man with a vehicle in a self-help measure.
In a self-help measure?
Yeah, in other words... Self-help is when the landlord takes, instead of going through the courts, he takes his own self-help measures.
Well, what was his idea? To knock him out, take his money, and get some rent, or just move him from the premises?
He ran his vehicle into the tenant's vehicle.
I see.
And then when the tenant came out, he ran the vehicle into the tenant, hurting his ankle.
Well, maybe he was simply trying to communicate with the tenant in a direct manner.
Possibly he was trying to evict some of his material possessions that way. Maybe he thought maybe if I just ran...
Well, he was trying to save the tenant the anguish and the law's delay, the bureaucratic process. I think he wanted the tenant to take a more direct stance. Or perhaps a more direct lying down on the sidewalk.
Well, nevertheless, then there was an extraordinary police report. We're going to be filing internal affairs complaints about that.
This is inside the city or outside the city?
This is outside the city in the Boulder Creek area.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of funny because the officer in his report says, you know, the landlord didn't do that much. And then to the insurance agents, he says, I should have arrested that guy for assault with a vehicle and this and that. Yet in his report, he calls it vandalism.
Well, so in other words, he kind of vandalized the tenant's body with his vehicle, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's just minor vandalism. We should probably be slapped on the wrist and sent to landlord rehab.
Yeah, well, I think you know, we have to have some compassion for the landlord's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Well, not for the slum landlord or the landlord that... I do feel there are some conscientious landlords out there. Unfortunately, they suffer from the slumlords because, you see, Robert, a landlord who keeps his house in a standard condition cannot possibly compete with a landlord who keeps his house in a substandard condition. Economically, he cannot compete.
Mm-hmm. So we need to have some code enforcement in.
Exactly. And they always drag their feet. They are so reluctant. It's like the landlord rights are always paramount, especially in a pro-landlord jurisdiction like this. You know, various jurisdictions, some are pro-landlord, some are pro-tenant. For instance, Santa Monica is considered a pro-tenant jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco and Berkeley is considered a pro-tenant jurisdiction.
But Santa Cruz?
Santa Cruz is considered definitely a pro-landlord jurisdiction.
Well, I know that they tried to pass rent control here for the third time in 1982. The council passed it, and then they chickened out because of an initiative that was being circulated, or maybe it was a referendum on that. Do you see any hopes for rent control in Santa Cruz, even with let's say, with the new three council members, Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice?
I'm always hopeful.
Have you gotten any promises from these three candidates that they will be supportive of rent control?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't entered into that kind of dialogue, to be honest.
Go for it.
I intend to, as soon as I can get a little breathing space and someone to help around the office and where I can get out of
here. So if you want to help old Paul around the office and give this man a little breathing space, give him a call at 426-0644. We're talking to Paul of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, on your FM dial or selector or indicator. And we have a call-in number that will be open shortly in case you want to zip in for comments. And that number is 427-3772. And, of course, if you have comments you want to make off-air to me, the host of the show, I work with a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and my phone number, appropriately enough, is 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, or 4833, 423-HUFF, if you want to bawl me out after the show, or if you've got some questions you might want to ask. Is there anything more? Did you say that this tenant wanted to talk to us, Paul?
Oh, sure. I'm sure. He's a very communicative sort of dude, so let me put you on to him.
Sure.
His name is Mike Van Denner, and I sort of compare Mike to... he's sort of a brave knight, you know. Mm-hmm. And we see the tenants union is his page. And so we go, okay, brave knight, here's your sword, here's your shield, and here's your mount, and there's the battlefield. And Mike has decided to run right into the battlefield on his steed, run into the lair of the dragon and slay the dragon.
Well, better put him on quick because we're about to run on you.
Here you go. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Understand that you are a tenant who's getting the business from the landlord.
Oh, a big business.
Sorry?
I said, oh, a big business.
And what kind of, how long have you been a tenant with this landlord?
3.5 years.
And has he or she been difficult before?
Oh, no, I've known him personally. We've been to Christmas parties, Thanksgiving, Easters. I've even been to their great-great-grandma's birthday party, 92nd and 93rd. And what he's done to me here through all this, it's pretty disturbing. I'm distraught by the whole thing.
Well, what has he done?
Pardon me?
What has he done?
Oh, smashing the front of my vehicle, running me down, having sympathy or trying to show me that get out of the house. Well, when I'm showing substandard and
so let me understand the chronology. Did you have relationships, let's say, the relationship with the landlord that deteriorated recently before this auto incident occurred?
No, the only time that this started deteriorating is when we asked for the property to be fixed, the roof not to leak, the gas stove that had one burner for over 9 months straight, to have all four burners and the baking or the oven to work. Gosh, the list can go on.
Had you declined to make these requests in the past, or
no? Been making these requests for at least the last year and a half, 2 years.
And had he been responding to any of them?
He's not responded to nothing,
and except to invite you to his great grandfather's birthday party or something.
Right, always pacifying me in that manner. Maybe I don't know.
And what do you make of this? Is the guy just tight with his money? Is he having an economic crisis? Is he dislike you because of your skin color? What's the problem?
He's, I don't know what you would say, you know. He's retaliating. I mean, he has all these properties. He lives in a beautiful home up in the Boulder Creek Country Club, and
so he can afford to do all these repairs you're talking about.
Oh yes, but I feel that they have overextended themselves with their money flow or cash flow. But to me, if I was to have the money they do, and to own the properties they do, and to keep them up to standard, I think I would spend the money to fix these homes to keep, you know, so that he doesn't have to be pulled into court. Well, he's pulling me into court, but we're showing what we are showing to the... Gosh, like I say, I'm very distraught by this whole situation.
Sure. Well, the remedy, as I understand it, is that what you're doing is that you're making the repairs yourself and then asking that the court direct him to pay for those repairs, or... Was that what you were going to do?
They're too expensive, and it's not my property, and it's not my business. This rental property that went on with the leach field.
Robert, I'm going to interject for a minute.
Sure.
The repair and deduct process is if the repairs cost more than 1 month's rent.
Uh-huh.
The tenant, usually most tenant landlord books advise that the tenant do not make any repairs that exceed more than one rent.
I see.
1 month's rent.
So,
whereas these repairs would be like several months' rent.
So, is Mike initiating a court action to make sure his house is repaired, or is he trying to make sure he's not subsequently pursued by the landlord with a vehicle?
Well, he has an attorney now that will represent him on the vehicular
attack,
on the assault. In regards to the repairs, he's asking the jury that the landlord has no legal standing to evict him because he's acting out of retaliation.
So really what's happening here is he actually didn't go to court to try to get the repairs, perhaps as he might have been able to
do.
Well,
actually he did there's a process. If substandard conditions, in other words, the landlord is obligated by law not to breach the implied warranty of habitability. And once it's breached, the tenant has the right to say, I'm not giving you any more rent. I'm withholding rent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the place is substandard. Rent will resume once you make the place standard again. And my authority for that is Green versus Superior Court, 1974.
Have you been successful in getting landlords to make repairs for other tenants?
Some do. Some do. Often, the landlord's attitude, usually, because he's coming from a superior point of influence, is that not only do I want the money, but I want to lord it over you, too.
Mm-hmm. They don't call them
it's quite maddening.
They don't call them landlords for nothing. Huh?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So the question arises, are we in Surf City, S-U-R-F, S-E-R-F, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly seems like the latter.
Yeah. Well, I'm going, I mean, this is really very interesting, but my problem is my time is running short, so I'm going to cut you off with a hope you succeed farewell. And I guess, again, the number for folks to call is 426-0644 to talk to Paul, the Tenants' Rights Union, in case you want to follow Mike's case in a Tuesday trial, if it does go to trial.
Oh, it will.
As it will?
Oh, yeah, it's all set.
And then if you want to hear more about this, perhaps we can drag you back on the air on Sunday to continue this story.
You betcha, Robert. And don't forget, picket at 12. Let's stop that.
12 o'clock on Saturday at Beach and Cliff Streets. We're gonna beat back the Beach Boardwalk giveaway, which is still happening. They're getting 6 to 8 acres of our public trust land simply because the gutless Kennedy Council doesn't have the stomach for a legal fight, and they think they can let it go through the election and get somebody like Steinau, Quartararo, or Walton on the council.
Although I do think I would like to commend the mayor.
Mayor Scott.
Yes, I don't put her in the same league as the Kennedy faction.
Well, that's quite something. Actually, we're going to play a little bit from that meeting now. You can listen in and tell us what you think later.
Okay, Robert.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
I'll be signing off.
All right, then.
And that was Paul, the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. We're going to play now a little bit from that significant Tuesday afternoon session where the public comment period on the one and only hearing for this 6-acre giveaway to the Beach Boardwalk happened. And this was, again, we talked about this earlier on the air. This is the piece of property that the boardwalk parking lot are right next to the trestle railroad bridge over the river mouth is situated. And that property, it was shown by Phil Baer, there's a real question as to whether it's under the mean high tide line. And in fact, I think it's been shown that it is, and therefore that it should never have been alienated, given to the sold to the Beach Boardwalk property, to the Beach Boardwalk company, as it was. And rather than fight for it, the Kennedy Matthews Council, with Attorney Barrasone in tow, has decided to give it up, and they are doing some kind of cheesy swap where they're taking a little section of the property, 1.5 acres or something like that, and giving the rest of it to Canfield. And that is, of course, hopefully something that people are going to challenge in court. Hopefully, they'll challenge it with our sleeping bags on the property, challenge it by pickets on Saturday at noon, invite you to come on down. What we're going to play for you now is a little bit of the final bit of that debate. Actually, the only real debate was from the floor of the audience, because the city council itself, with the exception of Celia Scott and Catherine Byers, who did speak eloquently against this giveaway, was solidly behind the Seaside Company sellout thing. And we're going to hear a little something. We actually had a whole long interview with one of the most eloquent speakers of that afternoon session, Ralph Meyerberg. And unfortunately, that tape is, we're having trouble locating it, and it's got some problems as well. We're going to try to bring that one back, Ralph, if you're listening. He's really a very articulate and knowledgeable person on this issue. And he was attacked by Councilmember Kennedy publicly for what he said. And we're going to hear that exchange in the closing minutes here of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. First, we're going to hear a few prior speakers.
Defined as the land a quarter of a mile on each side Probably living riverbank. And I learned in the plan that living riverbank as a term that would be synonymous with saying there is a river anymore because of what we've done to the river over the years. The levees, which crown the river, basically are an enemy of the town and the community. We saw it last winter when it came really close to flooding. It sandbags all over the immediate vicinity of the doorways downtown. I'm going to have to applaud this suggestion to move the levees back, because that's where the smart money is these days, on flood control. When the time comes, and the weather comes, and it all hits the fan at the same time, it's got to go somewhere. And the more narrowly you define the riverbank, the less options you give the power and the energy of nature to go. And they're going to break through, you know, the river will break through that weather, and it'll be catastrophic damage. Riparian habitat is also defined as the most supportive of life on the planet. More species of flora and fauna thrive in riparian habitat than any other habitat on the face of the planet. If harbor seals in their innocent wisdom have chosen to go to this little postage stamp beach to get a bird, I think we should take that as a compliment and omen for the future. This is one part of the river that is not beyond redemption. You know, we can start our reclamation of the sand lands or river right here where the ocean meets the river. I'm sorry to compare this meticulously. I just happened to be off of work today, so I decided to come down.
And of course, what the speaker is talking about is a plan to restore the river instead of giving it away to the boardwalk for expansion for a second roller coaster.
But once again, I think the idea to move the levee back to 3rd Street is the best idea I heard in the House today. Give that river a place to go. Give the animals and fish, the fish that look for that inviting place to come back to swim upstream against the current and reproduce, because there's still a few trees to cool the temperature of the river, because they only reproduce within very narrow parameters of temperature. And to finish up, I would like to question the wisdom of further gifts to the Seaside Company, which has proved itself over the years to be a bully. I don't go out soliciting horror stories, but I have two close friends who are here in Santa Cruz that have gotten beaten up by the Seaside Company in struggles over, they were defining public land as private land. And I'll do that. They are not good neighbors.
Good afternoon, my name is Ralph Myday. When I read the paper this morning that Santa Cruz has now been given the gift, which was always ours, not really a gift, but acknowledged finally of another area that can be reclaimed as a natural resource, I was elated. I'm proud to be part of a community that brings so much information in public deliberation to the City Council to balance some of the rather narrow information you seem to be getting from your own staff, who seem to have interrelationships of a personal level that influence them. And I know this is disconcerting, but actually there are people who've studied this, Mike, I can see you disagree, but the people who just have studied how councils and other parliamentary bodies are influenced by it.
As I said before, this is Ralph Nyberg talking. You will shortly see Scott Kennedy thuggishly interrupt him in the middle of his oral communications and try to essentially bully him into retracting what he is saying. This is vintage Kennedy, and let's hear what he does.
Closed system that tends to develop. I still have the belief.
Are you saying that our
attorney has personal relationships with influencing legal advice he's giving the city council?
I'd like to answer that in a very general way.
I'm not making it on public TV. About an employee of the...
I didn't make any accusation. I'm just making a sociological observation. Solomonsky, the great community organizer, in speaking about personal interrelationship, said that the gangster, Frank Nitti, when he wants you to get a hit, would get someone from out of town, because he said the hit person might have to think about that person's family and bring in considerations that weren't material to the job. And he said that's the nature of interpersonal relationships. That's all I meant. No accusation. Just something that happens sociologically. Okay? So what I'm telling you basically, if that mistakes you, I'll be happy to explain it later. What I'm basically saying is that I'm proud to be in a community that can balance the information flow by this tremendous amount of knowledge that comes to you, and I ask you to listen to it very carefully. As a result of that, we now have a park that we wouldn't have had because it didn't come out of the city information flow. And it probably should have. We are paid staff members that should have been looking into this. We didn't get it. But I thank the community for it. I'm proud to be part of that community. The problem with rushing the process is you don't get the full fruits of the information that stems from this community. When you look at me out here, I'm just you. I'm who you were when you stood out here saying, I'm not making any accusations, I'm making observations. So please come back into the fold, support this community, help us develop our natural resources, help us be fair to all the people of this community. Let's get on board and be the ideal community that sets the example for the rest of other communities who have always looked to us ultimately for what we've been able to achieve. Thank you.
Mayor and members of the City Council. I vowed not to speak, but I was sparked to speak by Councilman Kennedy's brutal, and I make the accusation directly to him, cut off at our first opportunity to air this issue.
Yes.
I ran him through the three-minute rule, and I did not think it was possible that you, Councilman Kennedy, or your cohorts could so not listen, so not see, and so not know what's going on. It is clear to me that this plan is not right. It is clear to me that this land deal has some odor to it and is not ready.
Yes.
It is inconceivable to me, if you could let your thoughts soar a little bit, that in the Congress of the United States there would be a parallel discussion of what the contractor company in Yosemite needs is what we ought to give them. That's not how we deal with our public lands.
Yes.
And you haven't learned that. Now I would suggest to you, Councilman Kennedy, that you go to your own planning office and look at what Swanton put up on the wall. It's a museum piece up there about the possibility of renting the public land to concessionaires. I never even heard about that. You haven't considered half the possibilities that face you. I believe you should vote everything down and go home and look at what this country is all about. And I have one time, and I would like to say, since we won't read in the Sentinel tomorrow morning, that every single speaker this afternoon, except for the high-priced lawyer for the developer, spoke against this. Let that register.
Your community policing hotline. For a signed photograph of your chief of police, press 1. For a signed photograph of your beat officer, press 2. For a set of police officer trading cards, press 3. For a copy of your police department's latest recording of We Are the World, press 4. And thank you for calling your community policing hotline.
And that's it for Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides for tonight. Come join us on Sunday at 11 o'clock when we return here on 96.3 FM with more Civil Rights for the Poor. And if you really want Civil Rights for the Poor, get your butt, your picket signs, your canteen, your blankets, your table and your chairs out to help us at the Beach Boardwalk, Beach and Cliff Streets, noon on Saturday. We'll be there telling the Canfield Company and the Canfield City Council, no thanks. Santa Cruz is not for sale. Stay with us. And stay with Uncle Dennis coming up. That